Right here on Fox Sports Radio 1340, presented by the best damn show in radio, Radio Network. It is I, Mike Pierman, Sr. here. Another weekend, guys. Best and worst, exactly. What was it this weekend? A lot of things happened this weekend. A lot of things will happen over the next several days. College football, I mean, where do you begin? I tell you, first, the particulars, 347-637-3859 is the number to call. And make sure you follow me on my Twitter page, Mike_Pierman Senior. That's P-E-A-R-M-A-N Senior on the Twitter. Also, make sure you follow the team to give you the identification. That's 1340 AM Fox Sports, that is. But please, make sure you follow us. And also, make sure you listen anytime, anywhere. I don't care if you're in the car. I don't care if you're at the gym, hell, especially if you're in a sauna. That's a nice time to see some guys. Well, that don't really time right if you're in the sauna. Listen to some guys. But it's still sports talk, and you get that in the sauna as well. Make sure you go to Stitcher. It is also available on iTunes all the time. But if also, people, for those who don't know, you're about to find out right here, right now. I wear my heart on my sleeve, and I wear it this way. The best and worst of the weekend. I mean, seriously, where do you start? I mean, could you start with college football? Number 2, 3, 4 all go down? And does that just mean that Alabama, should they be like playing, you know, NFL teams? Or like, is the Roll Tide, which, okay, y'all like to say it, so I've said it. It's like Roll Tide, could they beat like the Cleveland Browns? I mean, seriously, can they beat the Cleveland? Cleveland ain't won a game, and Alabama can't lose a game. Cleveland has not, put like this, Alabama has less losses than more wins than Cleveland Brown has. So who deserves to be in the NFL? Also, as I wear my heart on my sleeve, best and worst of the weekend. Did anybody see the PBC fight with Danny Garcia versus Vargas, where after the fight was over, he got into some verbal words with one Keith Lights Out Thurman? Can that fight finally be happening? Which leads me to my fair or foul today. Is boxing dead without Floyd Mayweather? Because no one seemed to be talking about that moment. Also, as I wear my heart on my sleeve, the NFC East, the Dallas Cowboys, I'm going to say it, it's okay. They're the best team in the NFC, guys. They might be one of the best teams in the NFL. Talk about that as well. After the Washington Redskins win a game, after the Philadelphia Eagles win a game, Dallas does what Dallas has been doing all year long. Also, as I wear my heart on my sleeve, seriously, guys, I've been waiting, anticipating for oh so long to love a guy as much as I love one Conor McGregor, but I hate him all the same. And I know that makes no sense. And some women out there have been told this for years. When a guy says, I love you, and I don't mean to hurt you, or the girl says, well, I hate you, I hate you. Oh, I love you. I love you, right? They understand that. But Conor McGregor has got to be the biggest, the best thing of the weekend. How could you think anything less than by his stellar performance at UFC 205? He comes out to I Get Money, I Run New York. But you heard my JMO. If you didn't, I'll give it to you here live today. 347-637-3859. A lot to discuss today and on this epic day as we bring back Leon Lally Love, because girl, it looked like your daddy must have been a meat burglar. Like, because two Christmas hams slid in the back of your wedding dress. But welcome to the program, all the way, my Colombian brother from Miami, being the club, getting this sauce on. What's going on, Hugo?
UFC 205 is going to go down as the greatest fight card in combat sports history. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've missed UFC 205, which I'm sure all of you already know what happened, I still encourage you to watch from the preliminary bouts all the way to the main card. Mike, I can't believe what the UFC have done. Is there anything bigger right now in combat sports than the UFC? And I'm glad that you're going to bring that boxing segue, because I love my boxing. But damn, that UFC is damn too good, man. It's damn good.
I know you got a chance, if not, to see my JMO on UFC 205 and what I think about UFC 205. And I had to take a page out of the internet wrestling fans and go, I give it an 8 out of 10. And I'll tell you why later in the program. Yes, a great pay-per-view. I said on Friday, we're not here to make the show to buy or not to buy. Damn right it was to buy. It was a damn good pay-per-view. Had some very climactic moments. But I have a problem with it. So Herd, H-E-R-D versus Not Dead, Colin Cowherd, that's a 3X's because I'm hardcore. I'm calling you out. All because of this man that started a hashtag. We're going to bring him on. My brother from another mother, dropping bars and making stars. What's going on, Micah?
Oh, my God, still in my lives, but that's all right, man, because I'm still fine. And I'll tell you what, this is me, the guy you know as M.E. You can find me, M.E. Richmond, on the Twitter. And, yeah, man, you got to understand, man, I'm an investment broker, so, you know, I had to go ahead and take my stocks because I had to start that hashtag called Herd versus Not. Let's go. I still got it. Anyway. I still got it. But no, I'm very, very lost this weekend. I did not catch the full extent of UFC 205. I went to bed, but when I got up the next day and then I had to relive it again today, I made sure I saw that Willie from the program, Tyler Willie fight, and the Willie Thompson and the McGregor and Alvarez fight. And surely enough, I can't wait to talk about it later, but you were right. And this is why a person who is getting educated on combat sports and how we have some good times, we have some bad times, but right now is the right time for UFC to take over. They've been taking over, but this definitely, I could understand why Hugo was saying what he was saying. I like the last two fights. I like what they brought to the table. We can get more into that later, but trust me when I tell you, between that, those stinking Cowboys winning again, just, gosh, why do you have to be so good, Ezekiel Elliott? Shoot.
Well, we were talking about all that as well, but also welcome to the program. Like I said, I mean, I feel Conor McGregor today. That's why I keep playing his intro. And he had this wonderful woman from Ireland singing in the beginning as he beat the Philadelphia native Eddie Alvarez down. I still got my quarrels about that. It's been in that whole fight. Brian H. Waters says UFC is fixed, like WWE style. But, hey, we'll talk about that also as later. But another Philadelphia guy did win. But did anybody know he was fighting? We didn't even talk about him on Friday on the Lock It Up show. Jake Chris, I feel bad. But, hey, I picked against the Eagles for the first time all year, and they won, baby. What's going on, Jake Chris?
What's going on, fellas? I knew Garcia was fighting, but I knew it was – It was a mismatch. Just like you said about the McGregor fight on Friday was a mismatch.
Right.
I don't know what was going on this weekend. I don't know what all the mismatches were. There were a lot of them this weekend between boxing and UFC. I mean, you know, what happened to the days of you don't need a tune-up fight when you're a champion? What happened to those days, Mike? I really don't know. But what's going on, fellas? Man, happy Monday.
It's a great Monday. It's the best and worst of the weekend. So without further ado, let's get into it, guys. You got your information. You know we're talking about today. You know what I'm wearing on my heart. And we got to start off with last night, the NFC East, as we wait for one Waliopo. How do you pronounce his name all the way? Jay Chris, you've known him.
Waliola.
Waliola. There it is. Call it to the program. The Dallas Cowboys, man. I'm sorry. And while I say that, I have to stop that terrible music. And guess what? We're saved by the bell. Calling in from the DMV with no ID. We'll talk about the Redskins later, King Vaughn. Save your tweets, all right? We're talking Redskins right now. What's going on, Wale?
What's going on, man? You said Saved by the Bell. That's like my favorite show growing up, man. Jack Morris, Big Phone, A.C. Slater. You know what I mean? Kelly, Lisa, Jesse. You know what I'm saying? Tori. You know, Tori.
So
she was on the bike. You know what I'm saying?
Don't forget Mrs.
Exactly,
Bliss.
You know what I'm saying?
Don't forget
Mrs.
Bliss.
Mr. Belden. You know what I'm saying? And his brother Jack or Rob.
You know what I'm saying?
Back in the day.
Rob,
you know
Belden.
I know that.
Rob.
Rob, though. You know,
so, you know, Taraji was an extra in one of those shows.
What's Taraji an extra in one of those shows? I got to go watch that one. I don't remember that.
Taraji was an extra in one of those shows. I think it was at the Max.
At the Max? You know what? I got to say this because we're there, and we're going to stay here because it's the Barbershop. Welcome, people. We're at Barbershop Talk Beach Radio. Y'all watch Pitch? Because Zach's on there. And if you're not watching Pitch, it's about the female picture that comes on Fox. It is the best production. It is the best production, first of all, from a show I've ever seen. And being a production major, I really did. Major League Baseball put money into this show. And it's the best. And Zach's on that, and then the girl. Please, King Emmy Rich on the Twitter, Michael, find out her real name, because when this year's top 25 female list comes, Jay Chris, you've been here from the beginning, and so have you, Hugo. I really think Candace Swanepoel, for the first time, might be tested at number one. I'm really sure. I kind of look closer into the number one picking slot and what I'm making this year, but I think Candace, she went out and had a baby, so by default, she kind of, you know, goes off the list a little bit.
I got your name, bro. She's a Canadian-American actress, Kylie Sunbury. That's a star, I believe. Kylie Sunbury. Yeah, Sunbury. Yeah, that's Jenny Baker, right?
You know what? She looks Canadian. She looks Canadian. But yesterday afternoon at 1 o'clock, which way I had, Jay Chris, before I get into the Redskins, my week was pretty damn good. Did you see the picks I made this week? Did you see how well, let me rephrase that, how swell I did this week? Did you peep that?
I didn't. Tell me about it.
Oh, I got it. All right. You know you
break
have
it
a
down.
Good week. Well, I got to break it down. You was like, I remember you had that
break
game.
It down for the people.
Oh, well, for the people. For my people. I had Baltimore, which obviously that wasn't really a hard thing to pick, right? All right, so, I mean, they played Cleveland. All right, and I'm going to ask that question, too, later, guys. Cleveland or Roll Tide. They should switch, right? Once you become a college team, once you become a pro team. Pick Houston. Upset of the week was Kansas City. Pulled it out for me after being down 17-3 in that ball game. All right, I did lose New Orleans, but they fought valiantly at home. Denver came back, won that game by three. I said, do not touch the Jets and the Rams with the Jets. Hugo's team pulled it out.
Oh, my God.
Pick'em game, can't lose either way. Lost Atlanta, but got Washington, got Tennessee with a blowout of Green Bay. Picked Tampa Bay, picked Arizona, which really means, I mean, that wasn't really a hard, you know, choice there either. Dallas, the winner, and Seattle with my lock of the week. My upset and my lock can both win, but I want to go back to this Minnesota-Washington game. We got Wally Oliopa here. Did I say it right, Wally?
No.
I guess I didn't. Yes,
well, no, you didn't.
I'm not going to try it again without hearing it in my ear on one of your podcasts, saying it over and over. That's why I'm going to do it. From now on, over here, your name is just Wally. because I'm not going to disrespect your mother and father that way. Now, the Washington Redskins, they pulled this out, and again, they could have very well lost, some would say, Captain Kirk. Right? I had to pause because I think of Captain Kirk. You already know where I'm going, Wally, with that, right? I had, I had to erase that memory of that out of my head for a second. Did have an okay game, even though I thought he played the hocus pocus ball that he can play sometimes. But they pulled one out. The question I asked, can they make this an NFC East anything with the Cowboys?
I don't think so, man. To be honest with you, the Steelers game, really, I thought if any team was going to put the Cowboys back in their place, I thought the Steelers would do it, and they didn't. They beat the Steelers in Pittsburgh, you know what I'm saying? So right now, I just think that, you know, the Redskins got to be more focused in the wild card. Anything can happen, but, you know, the way the Cowboys are playing ball, I just don't see them catching up, especially with the tie. And that means basically the Cowboys would have to lose four games, and even the Redskins won out. So it'd be too complicated, too difficult, for the Redskins to catch the Cowboys at this point in time.
Well, they are, you know, with the tie, they're still only two behind, eight to play. They have the Cowboys got to play everybody in the division one more time. That's on the fingertips there too. So just like the Eagles have lost all three divisional matchups. The Redskins still, mathematically, as they say, have a chance in this ballgame. But what were some of your pluses and minuses in this win against Minnesota? Minnesota has completely faltered, and every time I see them lose a game, I know, Jay Chris, you feel the same way. I go, the Eagles got a closer number one draft pick. That's all I know. But go ahead with Wally. What's your take on the game?
Well, I mean, one, I think that, and you know, I'm not the biggest Kirk Cousins supporter, but I thought you played well. I thought you played pretty well. I think coaching played a part. My issue with the Reds, let me go to the positives. I think Kirk Cousins played well. Rob Kelly, Fat Rob, he played well. The running back played really well. I think defensively they shut down the Vikings team that scored 20 straight points on them, but in the second half they scored nothing on them at all throughout the whole second half. So I know a lot of times this area within the pundits within this area likes to trash the Washington Redskins defense, but again, when they need a big play, this porous defense tends to make plays at key times. So the defense, they stood out. Preston Smith had two sacks and an interception. And everybody was asking, like, where is Preston Smith at? He finally showed up. So those are the pluses. Negatives, obviously giving up 20 straight points is bad on any front, in any front or any defense. So that's something they need to fix up. Secondly, I would say within the play calling. I'm a big fan. If you're up 14-0 and you don't go out and start to throw the ball every which way. I grew up watching Joe Gibbs football, and I knew when he got a 14-point lead, teams weren't coming back because he would run the ball. And I think at times with the Redskins, it's like they're always trying to outscore you, always trying to play Madden football. I mean, I saw when Madden football 92, not like today's Madden football. I saw Madden football 92. And so, but instead of like playing, you know, the possession game and ball control, they tend to want to like throw the ball every which way. I'll give you an example. It was 14-0. The Redskins defense just made a stop. So the Redskins had the ball, and Sean McVay, who is the Redskins OC offense coordinator, decided to, you know, to call three straight passing plays. The running back, Robert Kelly, has been running well.
I told you about him.
Yeah,
I mean, it might be golden showers. I don't know.
But, yeah, he's been running. He was running well. Give him the ball. Let's drain some clock. Don't put that defense on the field. You know what I mean? Like, give you an opportunity to kind of drain this game out. So, and they, what happened? They punt the ball, and Sam Bradford and the Minnesota Vikings scored their first touchdown. So, And they gave the momentum. My whole thing is like play to coast to the game, and try to, you know, and try, instead of being this team that's trying to score all, you know, score through the air, be more balanced. They were balanced in this game, but be more balanced within situations. I think situational balance needs to be played out, and also the red zone woes they continue to have. Like, this team was one of the worst in the red zone, and that showed up in the game against Minnesota as well.
Well, I believe they're going to get their running back soon if he wants to come back. But this team is taking some steps back, right? No broke back in that. But again, as Minnesota loses, Jay Chris, the Eagles look better at getting a draft pick. And we're staying in the NFC. Before we go to the obvious, okay, I want to stay here. The Eagles still in last place after a big win at home against Atlanta. Do they have a chance, even though mathematically they do? Or are you like me? I don't want a playoff. And I know that may sound crazy from Eagle fans. I know we can't win a Super Bowl. But I know that draft pick can help me win it next year, potentially. Jay Chris?
Well, I'm going to put it to you like this. The last time we could have won a Super Bowl was 2004, and we didn't. But actually, I think it was 2008 maybe or 2007 or something we probably could have won it to, but we didn't. We could probably go to playoffs again this year and probably won't win the Super Bowl. Actually, the way I see it, I see the NFC is a toss-up. Really, I know the Dallas Cowboys are basically the cream of the crop right now. But when we played them at their place, you know, there's a game that the Eagles really should have pulled out, but they didn't. They didn't execute. They didn't finish well. You see that what was considered the second best team in the NFC, the Atlanta Falcons, you saw what the Eagles did to them yesterday. All right, so the Eagles could definitely turn some things around.
You're saying that is like, are you talking right now in your B-boy stand? Like, you seemed really proud when you said that one. Like, you're just like, you know, we beat them too. You see what they were.
Yeah, we did. We beat them. I mean, we shut down that offense that puts up 35 some odd points
see,
a game
you
and held them
to 50. You're not standing in the B-boy stands. Okay, go ahead.
I'm not. I'm sitting down.
It's not like you're boasting.
Well, when your team wins, you should boast a little bit. Earned that. Your team earned that for you. You know, and when you hold a team like that, a high powered offense like that, to under 20. Okay, and you're able to beat them, you poke your chest out a little bit. Now they got to continue to do it. All right, I mean we did that to the Steelers when we thought the Steelers were Super Bowl contenders, which right now they're not looking like it. Even though I thought they played a very good game the other day.
Yeah.
Like I said, that defense isn't that defensive.
Can I say something about everybody's favorite running back and Le'Veon Bell? I don't like the way he runs, and I've been wondering why I haven't connected with him. Over his years of, you know, stats looking very well. When you watch him run, he doesn't seem to run hard nor fast to me. And I have a problem with that. And then when I see...
That's kind of like Emmitt Smith.
The best running back in football, Ezekiel Elliott, hitting bursts like he's, you know, the power of Adrian Peterson and the speed of freaking Warrick Dunn.
Dallas Cowboys have that Alfred Morris Thunder and Ezekiel Elliott as Thunder and Lightning. Okay, mm-hmm. So they have a thunder and lightning combination. Le'Veon Bell is more so of the he's your veteran running back. He's going to get efficient yards, and every now and then he'll break something. He can run a guy over if needs to, but he's not going to do it all the time. And that's the difference between those backs. Now Ezekiel Elliott can run somebody over too, but as he gets older through the years, he may not want to run people because he's going to want his career to last a little bit. You know, running backs don't last but 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're that long, if they're lucky. So, you know, when you have a guy like Le'Veon Bell who runs efficiently, Ezekiel Elliott, who's killing the league right now, but he's a rookie and he's not saving himself really. He's just going out there and
right.
just going off.
Got nothing to lose. Right.
Nothing to lose. Straight skill. He's just running faster than everybody, running harder than everybody. He'll change up and he'll continue to be efficient throughout his career. I hope against everybody but the Eagles.
we got one more.
But, back to your first point, yeah, the Eagles can definitely make the playoffs. The NFC East the NFC is a toss-up. However, I think it's going to be difficult to get in. Well, it's not going to be as difficult to get in now if they don't win the NFC East, that being that they beat the Vikings, being that they beat the Falcons. The Falcons are going to win the South. The Vikings look like they were going to win the Central, but they're not. Okay.
Detroit's
going
to win
the
that.
The Lions are going to win that now.
Yeah, Detroit's going to win the Central. Absolutely.
So, well, and the Packers just don't look good at all. So, yeah, I think the Eagles have a very good chance of making the playoffs in the wild card spot, but they're going to have to win some NFC East games. They're going to have to do that.
They're going to have to sweep the second half of the NFC East games. They're going to have to beat Dallas. They're going to have to beat the Giants. And they're going to have to beat the Washington Redskins as well. They can't afford to lose any one of those games if they have any shot at making the playoffs. Again, for myself, and I know I'm not a contradiction that we all walk in contradiction. Would I want to see my team in the playoffs? Absolutely. I'm not going to denounce my team of chance of winning. But if they don't go and Minnesota continues to lose, I'm okay with that. Okay, because we don't have a first-round pick that's already that belongs to somebody else. So But 347-637-3859 is number to call in. And there he is. Always remember, Diggle, you know what, King Vaughn? We're going to ban you. We're going to ban your comments from the
All
chat.
You got to do is not read them.
All this cowboy.
He doesn't call the shows.
Needs to stop. Well, he's occupied. The reason why he can't call the show. That's understandable.
Oh, yeah,
but I get where you're coming from, too, by saying you don't know voice. No voice, right?
Oh, can I, real quick, I just want to say rest in peace, Glenn Ifill.
Absolutely.
Journalist lost her life today at the age of 61. Rest in peace.
Yeah, absolutely. Rest absolutely. In peace. Well, guys, best and worst of the weekend, and I got to draw attention from the NFL for one moment right here to talk about one Conor McGregor. So by leading me to Conor McGregor, by leading me, keep me in football, keep me everywhere I want to go, guys. I want to go fair or foul today. All right? What I'm going to do, I'm going to take a break. Going to come back, get you guys ready. I sent you what it was. You had time to prepare yourself. You had time to think about the things you should think about. I mean, the Cubs won the World Series, right? We got...
And you can tell them to go themselves.
As the President of the United States, doing the B. And the Cosby Show is coming back also. So with that, we'll be right back. Survivor Series is Sunday.
And a cover here, but there's no one there to count. There's The Rock. Great to see The Rock back. What's he doing in the ring? Checking on the referee, make sure he's okay. And... what? Wait a minute. What? Whoa! No, no. Bulldog now's up. Oh, no. Rock bottom. Rock bottom. Not into the dog poop. Rock bottom. Into the dog. Into the dog poop. Rock is in all kinds of trouble. Here
Hit
it
back.
Comes. Oh, they were going for the 3D on the Rock counter with a DDT.
We're
going
to die.
Bottom right on the table. Look out, King. Look out. Rock bottom. Oh. Rock bottom. There's bottom to the table.
Is that the sorry line?
Uh-oh. Just bring it, says Jericho.
A double rock bottom! A double
Welcome back, everybody, to Stolen Sports right here on Fox Sports Radio 1340, presented by the best damn show on radio, BDSR Radio Network. And I'm your host, Mike underscore Pyramid Senior, on the Twitter. 20 years! The Rock debuted at Survivor Series. And at some point during today or later this week, on Perfect Flex Talk Radio by BDSR Network, we're going to discuss the greatest entrances in Survivor Series history, or debut, shall I say, that we all thought would suck. The Rock, we thought would suck. Kurt Angle, we thought would suck. Truth be told, when you first saw the Phenom, you thought he would suck. All that this week, y'all. Fox Sports Radio 1340, BDSR Network, Stolen Sports Zone. I am Mike Pyramid Senior, 347-627-3859. It's time for Fair or Foul. That is the question today, brothers. And I want to start off in the UFC. Hugo, starting off with you, my man. UFC 205. Is it fair or foul to say it was the greatest UFC event of all time? You got 2 minutes.
Absolutely fair. Definitely from top to bottom, you have never seen a card this stacked ever. And I'm talking about any combat sport.
Reposition your microphone, brother. I can't hear you.
In any combat sport, you have never seen a card this stacked in recent memory. At least since I've been alive, I can't even say a card this has been this stacked all the way from the main event. We actually had three worthy.
Really?
Oh, yeah, really. We had three worthy main events on UFC 205. Conor McGregor. We also had Tyron Woodley. We had Carolina. You know, we can't pronounce her name because it's just so many K's on her last name. But her, too. You know, she definitely is a hell of a...
Hugo, I need you on Friday because I can't pronounce her name. And I depend on you to pronounce her name. And you can't pronounce her name. Gosh darn it. That has to suck. We can't pronounce her name.
It's really hard. It's K. I just call her Carolina K. Anyway, yeah. On top of that also, guys, we also had Frankie Edgar. He was in the preliminary main event. Another main event UFC bout. It definitely was, from the get-go, the greatest UFC card in history, perhaps maybe in all of combat sports. The only thing that was missing, I would have loved to make this kind of like WWE-esque, and it should have been maybe like a Clash of the Champions type of thing, Mike. I would like UFC maybe to do something. The only issue with that is that when it's a title fight, it's 5 rounds. It's a long pay-per-view, and this pay-per-view was actually very long. If you actually sat there from the prelims...
It was very, very long. It was like watching WrestleMania 20.
Mike, I got there at 7 p.m. 7 p.m. to the bar. And I didn't leave until 2 o'clock in the morning. That's what, 7 hours?
Yeah, it was 7 hours.
But it was entertaining from top to bottom, which it didn't feel that long. I think definitely I say it's fair. It was the greatest card in the UFC history, better than UFC 200 when we saw the return of Brock Lesnar. You can. New York City did it again, and definitely they paid off with this card, man.
I got to say foul. I'm going to tell you why. I felt it completely missed. I'm not sold that it was the greatest built card because although I'm huge, happy that he kept his belt, but I know he was not happy with the decision and Tyron Woodley's majority decision win where if one judge gives it to you, I'm sorry, you should have won the fight. That shouldn't have been a decision draw. But I remember UFC 100. With Brock Lesnar, GSP, at the time he was still as popular as can be, and Dan Henderson. You had the emergence, of John Finch and what's my man, Thiago, the guy who we thought was going to be great at that time, Pitbull, Alvarez, and you had to those guys. You know, had Mark Coleman versus Stephen Bonner on the prelim. On the prelims, you had John Jones on the prelim. Okay, at this time, and I think still that pay per view was better, and other reasons beyond what another fair foul would be. Fair or foul? I'm gonna stay with you again on this one, Hugo, before I move on to the rest of the fellas. Conor McGregor bigger than the UFC? Is it fair or foul to say that? Because he thinks so. He says he wants a piece of the company. He deserves a piece of the UFC because no one has done what he's done. And I have to completely say he is on meth. He is on heroin. He is on cocaine, the Colombian soap, and all drugs in between there. So he's been sipping on some Sub-Zerp on the south side of Ireland. Okay, if he thinks that he's the biggest thing and he's bigger than the UFC, your thoughts, fair or foul on that, in his opinion of that?
No athlete is bigger than the brand that major. That's foul. Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. He should definitely be compensated for what he has done for the sport of UFC. The only thing that I don't like about Conor McGregor, here's one thing that I don't like about Conor McGregor, and hear me out. He is now the current featherweight champion of the world, and he is also now the interim, and I'm calling the interim because we still don't know what belt he's going to keep, the light heavyweight champion of the world.
Well, lightweight.
Excuse me, lightweight. Sorry, lightweight. What gets to me is that he won the featherweight title a year ago, maybe a little bit. I think it was maybe like about a year ago, and he still has not defended it. He has to make.
He has won. I think wasn't the first fight with Aldo. When he won the second fight with Aldo for the title,
They haven't had the second fight.
They're right. Aldo got hurt again.
And Conor McGregor, I understand that he's a big time box office. I understand that against Nate Diaz, it was a pretty big thing going up to heavyweight. Welterweight. Going up to welterweight, going up to 20 pounds. I understand that. I completely understand a lot of that. But at the end of the day, he's not bigger than the brand. He's not bigger than the title that he actually does carry, or both titles that he's going to carry. Now what I want Conor McGregor to do, if he definitely is what he says he is, that he is bigger than the UFC, become a fighting champion. You need to become a champion. You need to pick a belt because you can't carry both of them around. Pick a belt, which, by the way, to me, Mike, it should be the lightweight title because there's Nurmagomedov coming up on his hinges, who is undefeated in the UFC. You saw him on the prelims on Saturday night, and what a fight it would be. And he called out Conor McGregor. If you saw the prelims, he called out Conor McGregor. And I'll be so excited to see that match. I think that man right there could be the man to beat Conor McGregor. We'll see, Mike.
Micah, Conor McGregor, fair or foul? Is Conor McGregor bigger than the UFC?
First of all, it's foul to say that Conor McGregor is bigger than the UFC. And there are people who come along in certain sports that, you know, that draw people to the sport that are able to become bigger than their respective sport or respective brand and have a tremendous amount of crossover appeal. We know those stars very well as far as those of us who are pro wrestling fans, those people who transcend the sport. But Conor McGregor is one of those ones that I don't believe he could transcend the sport. I believe that once he's out of the UFC, there's only one other logical place that he can go. And maybe he can do some movies, but really, I think that his star is going to die when he
what's
starts.
What's bigger than being a movie star in America?
What? Say that again.
What's in America? What's bigger than a movie star? Pretty much nothing.
President.
Pretty much nothing.
If you're being a movie star, you can be in a movie star. You either there's only two kinds of movie
stars. If you're
stars,
a star,
like, you know, you're either straight to DVD. You're either a straight to DVD movie star.
Right, but you didn't say that.
Or you're a real one.
No, you're an actor or an actress who has a movie to go straight to DVD,
I don't know if Conor has that appeal.
We use the word star, so I'm going off with the words you use.
I hear you. So what I'm saying is that I think it's foul because one of the reasons why he's able to be in the position that he's in is because he's trying to make himself a draw. I honestly wish UFC had more people and more personalities like Conor McGregor because then it will actually get me excited for these combat sports fights. It gets more casual fans.
I got a blind tag. I definitely think it's foul as well, but I think, and it's just a stance I'm taking. I'm being 100% honest. People are stupid. People are not just stupid. People fall for anything. What's that saying, Jay Chris? If you don't stand for nothing, you fall for everything or something like that? I'm saying it backwards.
That's what it is.
Okay, I said it correctly. All right, cool. So, how, Conor McGregor's not, and I'm not going to go where we went on Friday, J. Chris, and naming Tyson, naming Sugar Ray, naming Roy Jones. I'm going to say in his own sport. He's not bigger than Anderson the Spider Silva. He's not bigger than what John Jones was. He's not bigger. Hey, Colin Cowan, I'm calling you out about your UFC. He's not bigger than Brock Lesnar when it comes to box office numbers. His numbers are inflated. His fights are inflated. Now, that's the parts of me that say I love and hate Conor McGregor. No problem.
Wow.
Okay, because him fighting Eddie Alvarez, it was like me fighting my daughter. It was like me fighting, and I'm not knocking Jay Chris and his fighting ability because no one knows if Jay Chris can fight or not. I'm talking about in a size differential, okay? It would be like Jay Chris whooping my ass, okay? Conor McGregor, in my opinion, his fight, I'm not going to go where Brian H. Waters went and said that the UFC is predetermined. I won't go there. But it's not far-fetched to think it has a boxing appeal. And we all know that boxing at times in the past, and its heyday at times, had fixed opponents. We know Don King had fights that were fixed for his fighters to fight. Tune-up fights, right? Jay Chris, you asked me that earlier. Who has tune-up fights, right? Under those kind of banners of Aram and those guys, they had tune-up fights. Guys that were, you saw Rocky V. You saw Rocky. It was the chumps. Rocky IV, this was last Rocky III. They were bums. You couldn't fight with them. They were bums. You know what I mean? Conor McGregor has not fought the cream of the crop in the UFC. So for him to say he deserves to have a stake as big as he thinks, he's high. He's really been hanging out with Tyrone Biggums, and I'm not talking about Saturday Night Live Tyrone Biggums. I'm talking about the real one, okay? Anybody want this cheeseburger, man? I-S-O-D. That's what Conor McGregor's been giving in the UFC, in my opinion. I'm not knocking his star power. I think he is a cross-star appeal. I think he can be a movie star. I think the guy is as good as advertised. But his ability in the ring, I'm not knocking how great he is at fighting either. Not knocking that. His skills are there for the world to see. But who has he really, really beaten? This is the UFC.
He beat Jose Aldo.
He beat Aldo, hold on, and a flash.
And now
right?
Eddie Alvarez.
And Eddie Alvarez. Eddie Alvarez took how many years to get to the UFC?
Who cares?
He's still a badass,
Mike.
I do agree that he beat somebody who I thought would destroy one, Conor McGregor, and Jose, help me out, the last champion,
Jose Aldo.
He got real names. Not Jose Aldo. The one who Eddie Alvarez beat.
Dos Santos.
Dos Santos, thank you. Okay. I thought Dos Santos was too much of a pit bull and how he approaches fights, kind of like that how he does Vitor Belfort, how he just comes at you kind of a way. I thought Conor couldn't overmask him like that. But he has yet to be in the ring with guys that John Jones, that Anderson Silva and that GSP has fought. And I'm talking about guys that were not one-dimensional. If Mendez had had a full training time, I think he'd have beat, and we saw that he'd have beat, one, Conor McGregor. He took that fight on 2 weeks and got gassed by the second round, and he couldn't go no more. Okay? GSP, Anderson Silva, and the great John Jones, who the world was loving before he went on his crack bender, but it's okay. Hopefully he'll be back. But now he got to put down the sexual enhancement drugs, okay? He cannot compete on that level of those guys and has not competed on that level inside the octagon as those guys. He needs to take a break. 347-637-3859. Jay Chris.
Yes, sir.
Going to you now. Fair or foul? Is it fair or foul to say with the emergence of one Conor McGregor and the hype that is getting all of a sudden really quickly, the microwave society we live in like Cubs fans, okay, all of a sudden, now I know how it feels to be an official Dub Nation fan and a Miami Heat fan. I never knew how we really felt. Cowboy fans, you get this all the time. Fake people that come along, right? It's weird to me. All of a sudden, everybody's a Cubs fan, right? But with the emergence of the UFC, which I do love, people, so, get your draws out your arses, is boxing lost without Floyd Mayweather? Can they build stars? Because right now, I got to be honest, there's no stars being built in boxing, and they're trying, but is it too much too late?
Boxing will never die. I'm going to say that now. But I'm going to go back. I'm going to answer two questions at once, and I'm going to go back.
I'm
going to
believe that.
I want to go back to your other fair foul is Conor McGregor back to the UFC. I mean, bigger than UFC, and they're all connected. Here's how. I say it's fair that Conor McGregor is bigger than the UFC to say that right now. Okay, it's fair to say it right now at this moment. Like you said, microwave society and all like that. Going back to boxing, boxing needs a star. Boxing they need a star, they need an enemy. Okay, and with Adrian Broner not being the fighter that Floyd Mayweather is, I mean, he was billed as the enemy. He was putting himself out there as the enemy, and not being the boxer that Floyd is, it's not as interesting, even though you want to see him getting whooped, all right? You want to see somebody like Floyd whoop him. You want to see somebody like Manny whoop him, because people love to side with Manny for some reason. Now, if they do not – what boxing really needs, and they've needed it for years, is they need to get that heavyweight division. They need a focus back on that heavyweight division. With Luis Ortiz.
And, Saturday. Again, unless you're a boxing fan, what was the promotion for? I know I like to tend to say that I'm with you in the boxing world. You know, I had the weekend that I had coming back from the wonderful event for Fight for the Children, Fight Night DC. I was kind of lost in the sports gala, so I didn't know about, you know, the fight with Ortiz on HBO or PBC on Spike, where especially Danny fighting in Philadelphia. I thought I would have made a big deal of that myself on this show on Friday. Go ahead.
I'll tell you what, I personally didn't know Danny was fighting in Philly. I didn't know that was in Philly. I actually would have tried to go.
Right,
Because, I mean, honestly, I didn't even hear any advertisements. I knew that they had some things saying that Danny was in town doing this, doing that, but I'm like, all right, well, he's going to have to go to his fight at some point. I didn't know the fight was in Philly. That's on me. With Luis Ortiz fighting in the heavyweight division, he's the big bad dude in heavyweight division. I know the bronze bomber, what's my man's name? Help me out, Mike.
Deontay Wilder.
Thank you. I know Deontay Wilder is who the boxing wants to focus on, but I think this dude Ortiz is the real deal. He's Riddick Bowe. He's Riddick Bowe with more power. He's Riddick Bowe with more attitude, and he's Riddick Bowe with less talk. He's very quiet, and that's probably why he doesn't get the promotion that he should. But he's a bad man. I'm gonna tell you right now. This fight coming up this weekend, Kovalev Ward. This fight needs to have a lot more promotion for him because this fight is going to be huge. It should be.
But why isn't boxing connecting with the UFC the way that you? I mean, we got to be real here. We got to be honest. It's the barbershop. All right.
This is what I'm gonna go back to.
Okay.
Conor McGregor is bigger than the UFC right now because the UFC made him that way. It's the UFC's fault that he's bigger than the UFC right now. UFC, but on every advertise, anytime he has a fight coming up,
I gotta disagree.
Well, hold on. Let me just give you my perspective on it. Anytime he has a fight coming up, everything he does, whether it be good or bad, is out in the forefront. You see it. You hear about it every time. Then you get these things, you know, he's the best since Ali. You know, you're always talking about this guy. They're hitching their whole wagon to Conor McGregor because you got John Jones, who should be the biggest name. He's been having issues the last couple of years. So it's hard to hitch the name to this guy. So they got to hitch it to somebody. Before Conor McGregor, who was the biggest name? It was Ronda Rousey. She was bigger than the UFC. If you didn't even know what UFC was, you wouldn't
Ronda Rousey. Again, another name that I think is bigger than Conor McGregor. Thank you for bringing that one back up as well.
I think she's bigger than Conor, but she hasn't been around in a while.
I didn't mean to say UFC is bigger than Conor McGregor. Thank you for fixing that.
We haven't seen her in a while. So that's why Conor McGregor, you know, that's why everything is focused on Conor McGregor right now. Now, if Ronda Rousey were to come back and be dominant the way she was before she got beat, then she'll be the biggest name in UFC again. See, UFC took over that industry, right? UFC is like Band-Aid, okay? And I'm talking about the company Band-Aid, not the adhesive strip. A Band-Aid is really called an adhesive strip. The company that most people buy is called Band-Aid, all right? UFC is an MMA fighting company, right? But you got other companies out there, but when you see somebody fighting, people don't say, oh, this is an MMA fight, even if it's Bellator. They say, oh, this is a UFC fight. because UFC has cornered the market. They're the biggest name in the industry. Now they're making their fighter the biggest name bigger than them. So it's UFC's fault that he's bigger. Boxing needs to take lessons from UFC because right now they don't have a star.
That's where I'm going to jump in, and I'll let you finish. Because that's exactly the opposite of what UFC does. I mean, being honest, this is why GSP and all the fighters over the years, Tito Ortiz and all those guys, criticized UFC. They said where in boxing, you know, they were able to promote themselves. The UFC doesn't promote their fighters. I get what you're saying because he's taking these fights. He's fighting more than a lot of these guys that fought lately because he's getting that money. But he does these things, I believe.
He does these things, but UFC owns these guys. So anything that's getting put out there, video, anything, UFC is allowing this stuff to be released. It's not like boxing where there's a commission. The boxing commission doesn't own any of these boxers. If you're a UFC fighter, you're not fighting Bellator. All right, you're contracted under the UFC. If you play for the Sixers, you're not putting out a promotional video for the Chicago Bulls. You understand what I'm saying? These guys, everything that goes out, the UFC okays it, okay? So whether it be good or bad, like you always say, Mike, good news or what is it, bad news is good news. What do you say? What is it?
I don't know.
bad news is better than no news. So even if he's looking like a villain, it makes people hate. People love to hate somebody, and they want to see him get beat. They want to see McGregor get beat, or they want to see him kick somebody's ass.
I like watching him kick somebody's ass. My wife says she thinks I hate him because I'm older now. She said if I was younger, I would love him. You know what I mean? And so I don't know. But you went back from my one fair or foul, and you went all the way into that one to make your point as far as boxing being lost and dead. I'm sorry. Did someone get a big sigh there? Someone has something to do? I mean, it is the barbershop. Feel free, because don't bite your tongue, please.
Let me just say something. It is blasphemous. I'm talking about blasphemous that you actually think that Jon Jones is bigger than Conor McGregor, and you actually do believe that Ronda Rousey is bigger than Conor McGregor. Maybe I'll give you Ronda Rousey for the sole reason that she is the baddest female fighter ever in history. Number one. Number two, who in the UFC has got up two weight classes to fight? Tell me who. No one but Conor McGregor.
He is the man.
He lost and he won the return bout. So what's the deal about it? I told you from the beginning that it was stupid for him to go into a weight class. He did it. He tried. He got his ass whooped. He came back and he whooped his ass. So what's bigger than that? Nothing whatsoever.
Hold on. I think you are in I was in a cup mode. You're in a Conor mode. And I don't think you – I think I've always told you, Hugo, you can't get out of your feelings and your love. You have a man crush on Conor McGregor. It's okay.
No. First of all, my man crush, if we have one in the UFC, you already who knows who it is that's Daniel Cormier. You already know that. But
you
I just
know,
saying Conor McGregor, he's a fat ass.
All about them cakes, right? No, I'm joking.
I knew you were going to say that.
Listen. All right, how about this? I'm going to ask a simple question. I want these three guys to answer it one at a time. Starting with you, Micah. No, I'm sorry. Starting with you, Wally. To your knowledge, who did you hear more about, Jon Jones or Conor McGregor?
This is a tough one. As a guy who – I would say Conor McGregor because I was in the moment. Conor McGregor.
Next question. You answered that wrong, Wally.
There you go.
You messed up the whole goddamn thing.
I didn't even know. The only reason I knew about Jon Jones, he was the brother of like the football player.
Let me just say something. Mike is trying to con you into thinking that Jon Jones is bigger than Conor McGregor. That's what
I'm
trying to do.
Con you. You know the problem here is how
go
that you love one a lot and you don't like the other and you never have. So,
but I got it though. Let's call it.
Don't interrupt me right now, Mike. I'm talking knowledge, and he laughed at it because it was truthful. Okay, he knows what I'm talking. You hate him so much, so you can't be objective. And Wally, I may have been wrong with that one. Mike, I'm coming to you, Mike. Just give me 1 second. Jay Chris, who you believe is bigger? And you're not a fan. I mean, you like the sport from a Heisman pose. Who you think that you heard more about and was the best fighter. And that one comment you made, Hugo, about going up, I believe Anderson Silva went up plenty of times and weight and fought different guys at different weight classes. Just because he didn't go for their
not
title.
Not two weight classes.
Okay. Well, guess what? I can name boxers that do it all the time. So, Jay Chris, your
this ain't boxing.
Now you asked me two different questions. They're going to have two different answers.
I thought I asked
okay.
you one. Okay. I do that.
So you asked me who have I heard more about and who was the better fighter?
Okay, I did ask
if
you
I,
two questions. I sure
who
did.
Do I think is the better fighter? I would have to say John Jones, just personally. Who have I heard more about? I would have to say.
Hello?
What's you want to mute me, though?
I did not say it with Wiki you. That was but not
me
this time. All right, I did.
Mike,
That
mute button on mic is getting really, really touchy.
I don't know what a mute button is. I have a sandwich wiki button, okay? If you cannot call it by its official name, you cannot use the sandwich wiki button. Okay?
Mike, all I got to say is that I proved my point. Conor McGregor is a bigger star.
Proven the way I was proven wrong last week, okay? And the results there, Wally, you were right. People, including my lovely, beautiful, sexy wife, said that she heard more. You know, the bigger story was probably Magic Johnson news and not the Cousin in the World Series. Okay? I said it. All right? So please, King Vaughn Jr. 720 on the Twitter, put up a poll. Bigger star, John Jones, Conor McGregor, please. And we'll come back.
And really
quick, we'll hear Micah's take on it. No, we're going to hear Micah's take. We're going to move on. Fire! Micah. Bigger star.
Here's how it works. John Jones is the bigger and more established UFC star. But the bigger mouthpiece to try to bring attention to himself so he can be at that level and that status has been Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor has been self-booking himself through his promos to try to be bigger and to where Jon Jones is. Now, granted,
I personally think he's been coached by CM Punk.
Jon Jones is bigger.
I think he's been coached by CM Punk, which really will give Hugo a stiffy. Go ahead, Hugo, which was going to stick before I move to my next third pal.
I just want to say, Clint Vaughn, if you really think that Rampage Jackson was bigger than Conor McGregor, you better check yourself, man.
Didn't Jay Chris tell you that we don't respond to his stuff no more?
But that just bothered the hell out of me, man.
Really?
That just bothered the hell out of me.
Jackson was bigger than Conor McGregor? Come on. At least if I'm wrong, matter of fact, put up three people. Because one of these two going to beat him. I'm sorry, King of Great, did just delete it and do another one. John Jones, Anderson Silva, GSP, or Conor McGregor? Put that up. Bigger
GSP.
UFC star.
GSP.
Matter of fact, I'm sorry, take out GSP and put up Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar.
I'll give you that. Fine.
John Jones, Anderson Silva, or Conor McGregor? I'm going all freaking three. Bigger than Conor McGregor. But hey, and again, people, I do. I'm not lying to you. I love Conor McGregor, and it was hard as hell except at 2 o'clock in the morning, Hugo, watching that fight. It really, really, really was.
Yeah,
I had to be up early in the
was.
Morning. And I dozed off, woke up, the entrance, the guy came out. I'm sorry. Everything about him I do love, but at the same time, never like before, Jay, because you said it, have I want to see somebody lose. I don't know. I don't know why. I love him. I don't know. Maybe because he's from Ireland and he's not American. I don't know if that makes me an American, if that makes me a racist or a bigot. I'm sorry. But I go for
Mike, the only thing.
Last thing I'm going to say
about Conor McGregor is that it's crazy how an Irishman could make such a pro-U.S. crowd like that is New York City to turn on the American
you know
in
what?
For the Irishman.
I'm sorry.
He played the crowd. He played the crowd, man.
You know what? He does. He does. And but, again, I cannot take the city that you love so much over and over, over and over, over and over, and 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 over and over, in my head about this damn city. I really can't. So, with that being said, fair or foul? Ooh, what's that? What's that? You hear that? You hear that, J. Chris? You from Philly. Wally, you from Baltimore, right? BG County?
What?
I'm from Chicago.
Oh, I'm about to say.
To see me, it's gonna take a miracle. I'm driving these machines, hysterical. I'm just saying, Hugo, I know you got this love affair, you know what I mean? Like this straight Kelly LeBrock from New York City, but a lot of crowds are hype. I didn't see the big deal about it being because it's in Madison Square Garden. That's just me. But moving on, Cam Newton. Wally, is he overrated? I mean, seriously, the guy has a losing record as a quarterback. He had a tremendous year last year, okay? You wasn't here Friday. Jay Chris pointed out all the flaws of him and things like that has happened to the team, I'll say, not to him, the team. Is it fair or foul to say that Cam Newton's overrated?
No, it's foul because you got most quarterbacks out there that have so much more, you know, talent on the skill position. I mean, his number one, receiver is Benjamin. And again, Benjamin's still young, but you put Benjamin and Ted Gibbs Jr. and Funchess, these guys aren't established. A lot of the elite quarterbacks that we speak of have better talent than the wide receivers. Now, granted, he does have a good tight end, but I think
is it fair to say that quarterback makes the receivers? I mean, who are these star receivers before they had
the
quarterback?
They do, but you know, not everybody's Brady. Not everybody's Manning. You know what I mean? Not everybody, you know, are that caliber. Cam Newton's a different beast.
I think he has better receivers than Donovan McNabb ever had besides the 1 year we had Terrell Owens, just being honest. I think he has better receivers than the Eagles ever had.
I don't think his receivers are that good. I mean, I guess Benjamin would be good, but Benjamin's not a game breaker with his speed. I don't think you got that guy that can change the game with speed and height and whatever like we see today. Like I'm not gonna say Julio Jones. He's special. Or AJ Green. But I'm just saying you don't have
Brown's
don't have
a little guy.
Antonio
Brown's a little guy.
Yeah, I mean even Antonio Brown, but I don't think you got a game changing player. Like you don't have the wide receiver that is a guy that you can say, oh, he about to get that touchdown. Like he don't have that guy. Like he can get you an 80-yard touchdown reception in a second. He don't have that kind of guy. He has to create most of the offense. Like by himself, now I get Greg Olsen's great, but I just think that when we look at some of these quarterbacks he's going up against, he doesn't have that much talent around him.
I respect that. Micah, fair or foul? Is Cam Newton overrated? I mean, it is only sort of eighth an inch of his skin. I'm sorry, that has nothing to do with his football talent. Erase that from the record. Sorry. Go ahead.
I think in some respects it's fair to say, and here's why I say in some respects it's fair to say, and I hear the point brought up about his receivers and how what he had. Well, I'm sorry, he did win an MVP last year without Kelvin Benjamin, and then he had all the other receivers around. So how do you go from winning an MVP 1 year without the supposed star receiver and then not doing half as much? If anything, with that receiver in your lineup this year. Obviously, you know, there's some things about a personal quarterback talent that can make them receivers and some good receivers that can help out the quarterback. It's a give and take. And obviously the offensive line has to do that part. This is the ultimate team sport. But, you know, Cam Newton came in with a lot of expectations. And it wasn't like that he himself is a trash player. I think that he also has some trash teams, but also he doesn't do everything that he can do in his power to make things happen in a game. That's just me. That's just what I'm seeing. Like, it's he could be very overrated. He could be average. He could be above-average quarterback. But I've never thought of him. He hasn't proven to me that he can play at an elite level. And I don't know how. I don't know how he did what he did last year. Must have been an anomaly because everything before that year – and now after, it's showing, oh, it's the same guy.
Wally?
He had a good year before that. He had a good year when they lost to he took his team to the playoffs before that. I mean, he lost to San Francisco 1 year when he took his team to the postseason. Cam Newton, like, it's the same argument. I can say anything about Aaron Rodgers. Like, Aaron Rodgers is worse this year than he was last year. He has Jordy Nelson. So, it happens. Like, people have
but
bad
again,
years.
And I'm just playing, you know, Tony Allen here. Who was Jordy Nelson before – you know, I don't remember hearing his name with Brett Favre too much. I remember hearing, you know,
Jordy Nelson was with not with Brett Favre. Jordy Nelson was with Aaron Rodgers. He's always with Aaron Rodgers.
Right, I know that. That's my point. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, don't you make a receiver? I think that Jordy Nelson somewhere else may not be as good as we saw with
well,
Aaron.
I think Jordy Nelson, Jordy Nelson to me, I mean, if we're going to go off scouting, he was always pegged to be a really good wide receiver, even out of the draft. So, I mean, I can only go off his ability for what he was supposed to be. He was supposed to be a good receiver coming out of the draft.
Like
people
honestly,
looked at him.
So was Nelson Aguilar.
I know Jordy Nelson. I remember getting this scouting report. He was a guy that I actually wanted. I coveted. Like, Jordy Nelson was a guy that I thought can go. He can go. But anyway, I mean, but I'm just saying, like, Aaron Rodgers got his number one wide receiver, and he's still struggling. That was the excuse from last year. Was like, he's doing even worse. So I'm just saying, like, the argument that just because Cam Newton has Benjamin back doesn't always say, you know what, he's supposed to be better. Because in the grand scheme of things, one, defenses change up, and defenses, they figure out things. The offensive line isn't as good as it was last year, to be honest with you. You see Cam Newton taking more hits in the pocket. So there's a lot going on in Carolina that puts Cam Newton in this position to say, you know what, he's having a bad year. It's more than just having Benjamin. It's also an O-line as well.
Jay Chris, real fast, you go ahead and jump in there for the last minute. It's Cam Newton overrated? Is it fair or foul to say he's overrated?
It's foul to say he's overrated because I just think that they're getting to him now. 2 years ago, the record was the same as it is right now. Okay, so, I mean, last year he won the MVP because, you know, he was able to do his thing. This time 2 years ago, the team was like 3-4-1 or something like that, something crazy. What are they, 3-6 right now, correct?
Yeah, they're 3-6. They're 3-6.
Yeah, 3-6. Okay, 3-6. This time 2 years ago, they were 3-6-1. Okay, so I mean, this is the same team that they were a couple years ago. All right, and
is it because of talent? Wally said it's because of his talent he doesn't have around him. It's just camp. He has yet to throw over 60% of his passes in any season, good or bad. I don't see, and I can't remember. So fault me on this one if I'm wrong. And I'm not saying if he is or isn't overrated. The drop passes from his team. So he's had okay receivers, not bad receivers. I mean, I know no one would say Ted Ginn's a MVP Hall of Famer, but he's never been considered bad. Not great either, but not
Ted Ginn Jr. has looked decent with Carolina, but overall his career, we laugh at Ted Ginn if you make him a key wide receiver.
No, I'm just saying, again, a quarterback makes a receiver. That's the argument that I believe that
Ted Ginn's been bad for years.
Okay, well,
Ted Ginn has been a returner at best. We look at Ted Ginn as a punt returner.
Correct, you're absolutely
so,
right.
That's what I'm saying. He's been a total bust as coming out of Ohio State. We're going to rate Ted Ginn. He's been a total bust. So with Cam Newton last year.
You can't say he's a total bust. He's been in the league for over 8 years. Total bust last 8 years in the NFL.
All right, I love Desmond Howard. This is my point. I love Desmond Howard, one of my favorite players of all time out of Michigan. He was a bust. Desmond Howard was supposed to be a wide receiver. He was a Super Bowl MVP as a punt returner. I'm just telling you what he was supposed to be. He was a bust. Reggie Bush is a bust. He's a bust. He's still in the league. He's a bust. Reggie Bush was supposed to be the next Barry Sanders. He's a bust.
So is Cam Newton not a bust?
No, because Cam Newton got to the Super Bowl. He was an MVP. Cam Newton has shown you in a season that he's done great things. Like, to me, every NFL players a lot of NFL players have bad years. It happens. Is Aaron Rodgers bad? Is Aaron Rodgers now a bad quarterback? Aaron Rodgers is having a bad year. Is he a
but
bad
Aaron Rodgers won the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
Aaron Rodgers played his career.
But you're dictating one like this year. Like, all I'm saying is Aaron Rodgers
is having a bad
year.
Stop for 1 second. I'm not dictating that off of 1 year. And I'm knowing what he did last year. If you look over the totality of one Cameron Newton's career, it has not been impressive. That's the fact of the matter. Andrew is not just luck. I got to keep it fair, and that's what I do. He has not delivered besides last year consistently. That's fact. That's not my opinion.
He took his team to the playoffs. How many times did he take his team to the playoffs?
Twice,
I think.
Three times.
Okay, twice.
Two times.
Three times, right?
Twice.
Is it twice or three times?
Twice.
He's a young quarterback. His rookie year. What did he do his rookie year? In terms of stats wise, he had one of the all time, one of the best rookie.
He did. He had like 5,000 passing yards. Right.
Okay.
And
so he did that too. Right. I'm adding to the resume.
But he got a weapon now. Everybody believes in Kelvin Benjamin.
I'm just saying he's MVP. Right. He was MVP. Right. Right. He's MVP. Right. He was MVP. Right. Rookie MVP. Rookie MVP.
No, he shared rookie
NFL
year.
NFL rookie
he
year. Sorry,
shared with Andrew Luck.
Sorry, part of a part of – no, Andrew Luck is RG3. Andrew Luck was RG3. No, so he's rookie of the year that year. Cam was rookie of the year his year because Andrew Luck was RG3.
Okay, I'm sorry. You're
okay,
right.
So he's a rookie of the year, MVP, took his team to Super Bowl. I'm just saying, for a resume, that's not overrated.
Okay, and that's the game. I can say Tim
I'm
Tebow
not
was great.
Fan.
All right.
In the NFL,
we got Tom coming in from LA. Tom's calling in. Tom, we're talking Cam Newton, fair and foul, but what's on your mind?
How you doing? No, I think I'll just chime in with what you guys are talking about now. So, I mean, I think that Cam Newton obviously is scrutinized more than any other quarterback, but the way you're analyzing him right now is so indicative of how we analyze things, like, in our modern times. Just what have you done for me lately, right? If you look at this Carolina Panthers team, they had no business being 15-1 last year and going to the Super Bowl. They were
absolutely
that good because their defense improved, but Cam Newton carried that offense. So, yes, they had
exactly
a good defense, but you put, I don't know, who's a pretty good quarterback? You put Alex
Kirk
Smith,
Cousins,
right? Like a game-managing quarterback
yeah
in there. That team is whatever. That team's 4-12, 5-11. So to say that this team has regressed to the means that a lot of people predicted them to regress to for the last 2 years, and the only reason that they didn't do that earlier was because Cam Newton is so good. I think you look at teams like the Carolina Panthers, like the Indianapolis Colts, like the Green Bay Packers, the Packers to a less extent, but mainly the Colts and the Panthers, and they were gifted these, in my opinion, you know, unbelievable quarterbacks. They were gifted these QBs, and they can't build teams around them. I mean, Kelvin Benjamin's a good player, but, you know, you don't have to game plan for Kelvin Benjamin because you just have to throw it up. He's taller than our people. He's not going to – he's not taking the top off of a defense, right? Like, their best wideout – and okay, I'm not going to say their best, but the wideout you have to game plan for the most on the Carolina Panthers is probably Ted Ginn Jr. because he's the only one that has any kind of speed. So it's like you're asking – Cam Newton to be on a team where he has not a very good offensive line, he has terrible offensive weapons, in my opinion, right? I mean, Kelvin Benjamin had one pretty good year, but then he tore his ACL. I mean, we don't know that he's that good. It's just, look, does Cam Newton invite potentially – actually, I don't even think he invites that much stuff. He has fun on the football field, and we need more players like him, right? I mean, you look at, like, the NBA, like – those guys can actually show personalities. The NFL is turning so much into baseball where it's like these guys are punished for showing personalities.
well, when you come to a press conference looking like the mask, I think you should be punished by the league and your
mom.
Yeah,
but like Russell Westbrook, who I love, and everyone loves.
Russell
has
think he's
has
always
a line.
I get it. When I found out he was married,
he
blew my mind.
He has a line of glasses. Or forget Russell Westbrook. Dwayne Wade has a line of glasses that have no lenses in them. That's like a legitimate fashion line that he's created. And no one's like, I mean, I don't care that Cam Newton's wearing a turtleneck sweater. That's not nearly as stupid as a line of glasses that have
absolutely
no lenses.
But Tom, let me go back real fast to a comment you made, right? It's not me saying that I believe he's overrated, okay? When I wake up in the morning, right, And I grab my phone as I'm taking my – that would be a lot if I said I wake up and take a morning dump, right? Because I'm not one of those guys. I'm also on the toilet with my phone and some coffee. You're drinking coffee that's already going to make you poop, meaning you're on the toilet where you're already pooping. I don't do that. But I wake up in the morning, I get ready, I turn on, you know, the television or whatever it is on TV, and I'm grabbing my phone. I see Facebook, I see Twitter, I see whatever emails I get and whatever's on the television, right? And I hear all this conversation that's going on. I start hearing stats. Start hearing everybody else start speaking. It's how I come to an idea of what I want to talk about. And that was one of the conversations that was on multiple platforms this morning. When you look at his record over his career and his stats over the career outside of the 5,000 yard passing year and last year, he's been in the league. This is his fifth year, right? Three of his 5 years have been horrible. Not okay, bad. They've been horrible. They've been horrible. Listen, we're talking about 1 year. They won the division. They were 7-9. No one talks about that year, though, right? That's just forgotten. But if the NFC goes 7-9 and win a title, that's a problem. The NFC East sucks. But Cam does it. Again, I was a fan of Cam. Okay, listen to that. I was a fan of Cam Newton. I like to think that he takes on his stance on social social things in the media. But besides that, that's not what I think of him on the football field. I think he's one of the best weapons the NFL has seen, and he should have more fun at it, and he does get hit more than other quarterbacks. But I always say this, and I live by this, and that's why I've done this for 8 years. People lie. Stats don't. They can be tainted.
Here's what I'll
but
say.
They're still
I mean,
there.
Look. Here's what I'll say to that, though. If you are the number one pick, right, and you're a quarterback, by your very nature, unless someone's trading up to get you, which the Panthers did not trade up to get him, you are going to go to a team that is horrendous. And when the Carolina Panthers got Cam Newton, they were horrendous. So first, your first 2 years, to me, are going to be very difficult to judge, right? In his third year, yes, they went 7-9, but Cam Newton was still pretty good. And then last year, he really took a step to the next level. This year, I mean, I just don't think the team's that good. I don't know, like, I don't know what else to say. I think they had a couple bad losses.
Right,
also,
but outside of Josh Norman, what has the team
wasn't
lost?
Out 2 games, too? Wasn't Cam Newton out 2 games?
Yes, he was. But what has the team lost as their players, as their core players, that offensive line that was quote-unquote, this is what gets me funny about the NFL commentating and fans alike, right? 2 years ago, right, 3 years ago, the Eagles had the worst receivers in the world, right, 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, Chip Kelly comes in and they're superstars, right, for that first year. This is the same offense. This is the same exact team.
Yeah.
That he had
so this
year.
Is the same.
Besides
this is the same. But this is the thing. Let me jump in. Michael Orr, Michael Orr hasn't played most of the year. Michael Orr is having
Michael Orr's overrated.
On the field. Michael Orr, you talking about, see, this, are you going to use that argument, what they have last year?
No, I'm joking with you. I'm playing with you. I was trolling. I saw blind.
I know.
It's all good.
Michael Orr,
go ahead. I got it.
So Michael Orr, who I believe was a left tackle, now he's not even on the field. You know what I mean? So again, everything plays a part. Like, this team, it hasn't been the same. We're talking about even protection as a quarterback. We're talking about the quarterback position. You need time in the pocket. Cam ain't getting time in the pocket. He's not. He's not getting any time in the pocket. The guy's getting hit. So it plays a part. That offense isn't the same on a lot of merits. They're not even running the ball the same. So I'm just it looks like this team, off even in the trenches, this team is not the same, and they're having issues with that. As a whole, as a collective unit, because I think at times we judge football and football players, we like we usually use the individual to represent the whole team. There's a lot of elements within that team that's different from last year. And losing Josh Norman is big. Do not get it twisted. Losing Josh Norman in his home realm is big because that defense hasn't been the same without Josh Norman.
I 100% agree with that. I 1,015%, that doesn't even exist, right? There's no such thing as more than 100%. I've always thought that was really retarded to even say. J. Chris, just going to say something before I take a break.
Yeah, 3 years ago when the Cam's first year in the playoffs, they went 12-4. And they lost in the first round to the Niners. I think you mentioned that earlier. Lost to the Niners. They went 12-4 that season. The very next season was the season they went 7-8-1, and they won a playoff game that year. They beat the Arizona Cardinals, and then they lost to the Seahawks, who went on to the Super Bowl that year. And then last year, of course, we all know they went 15-1. So I think a guy with the past 3 years that he's had, I think it's kind of hard for anyone to call him overrated. I know he's having
And I agree. I say that I agree that it's foul. But we got to be fair to say this much, okay? And I think, at least I know for me, I won't speak for you guys, because that would be completely unfair, all right? I know I like – I said it publicly. I cheer for all black quarterbacks. I give all black quarterback chances, right? If Cam Newton, as you said to me about the famous penis bump that my Cubs did, right? If that was the Cowboys, you wouldn't make an excuse for it, right? If Cam Newton, let's just say, was Caucasian and he doesn't get the job, he's this great quarterback coming out of Stanford or Michigan, but Michigan only had Tom Brady. I'm sorry. Cheap blow. Okay. You would say he's not getting the job done. He's not equating stars. He's not making stars. I can't sit here and honestly say in agreement with you guys that he doesn't have – they're not trying to build in Carolina. Is it a slow build? Yeah. But they've gone after things. They've tried. I mean, you don't hear him complaining. You don't hear the team complaining. This team is built off of defense. And they thought and they believe and he believed that Kelvin Benjamin was his guy. They believe that Olsen and these guys they got to get it done. When have you seen Carolina go after the receiver? That's what I'm saying. If they're in need of these guys so bad, they're not pulling these triggers. You don't hear the team talking about it. 347-637-3859. All right, you don't have to bail me. I'm going to take a break right here, right now, anyway. All right, guys, we're going to come right back. More fair or foul because, frankly, people, it needs to be talked about. It just does. I mean, NFL was yesterday, and sometimes you have played and sometimes you don't. Sometimes you feel like a nut and sometimes you don't. Well, those are almond joys, but I'm not going to have one of those right now. You know, I'm not going to take a break because we got about 40 minutes left in the program. 347-637-3859. More fair or foul. I'm going to go right here, and I'm going to go back to you. I can't go to Mike on this one. I mean, not Mike. I can't go to you on this one, Hugo, because I know you got your feelings about college basketball. But I'm going to go here. I'm going to start with Wally because I like to hear Wally's opinion of this. Is it fair or foul to say Tony Romo would be traded to the Cleveland Browns next year, Wally?
Tony Romo traded to Cleveland Browns. They ain't helping Cleveland. That's foul. That's foul for both. That's foul for both participants. Cleveland needs Jesus. They don't need Tony Romo. They need Jesus.
That a tweet. Okay. They don't need Romo. They need Jesus. Okay. Foul to say, Micah, fair or foul? Tony Romo to the Browns.
That has so much foul. It's like a landfill. Just so much foul odors right there. That's nonsense. Why in the world would they trade away their second best asset on their team to Cleveland? The factory of sadness. No.
Do you really think he's the second best asset on the team?
Now he is. With the way everyone else was playing. By the way, there's a picture floating around. I'm going to find it, and I'm going to send it to you guys. And it has crying Jordan Romo and random Western mustache Denzel Washington in the background.
That's not put anywhere. Fox Sports Radio tweeted that out.
That's right. I thought that's
reality. We don't miss a our social media team don't miss a beat. Jay Chris, fair or foul, Romo traded next year, maybe to the Browns?
Has Romo suddenly turned into Jake DeLome? I mean, geez. That would probably be the best place where they can get a decent draft pick for him. But I think Romo's going to be a Bronco next year.
Ooh. Romo, a Denver Bronco? Elway needs a quarterback. Well, I've always loved that clip. I'm not the biggest Simpson fan. You know, man, I watch them. They're stupid, but... you know, I've always loved that clip right there. The Denver Broncos. I think it's foul. He is Mr. Dallas. Why not give him a break? Fair or foul? Starting with you, Micah. The state of the WWE, the WWE Network tonight, immediately following the go-home show to Raw, they have decided to take what Mike Knox, the small ego people, you know, sometimes you put water on a gremlin. Right? He turns, right? If you put water on Michael Pierman Sr., he turns into Mike Knox. And Colin Coward don't want none. Heard versus Knox. Get the hashtag going. That's for three X's. They're going to do a State of the Union for the WWE, and they're going to debate after Raw tonight. Fair or foul to say you're going to step and watch that?
Yeah, I'll step and watch. That's fair. I'm going. I just want to hear it. I am among the many people who scratched their arm, who was chomping at the bit, and who could probably get punched in the face and bounce right back up because I didn't feel a thing. Crackhead junkies of wrestling. Yes, I will probably do that because I stay up anyway to watch the Monday Night Football games. I'll just stay up to watch that too. I'll have my dual Michael screen on tonight. To watch both. Yeah, I'll do it.
Fair. Hugo, fair or foul? They stole our idea.
Yeah, they did. Is that the one where Daniel Bryan's going to be there? Because, I mean...
Yeah, the GMs, yeah, the owners, the commissioners, whatever they call it, you know, some wrestlers.
I'll watch it because we're junkie wrestling fans. That's the only reason why I would watch it. Am I interested in it? No. But then again, the Monday Night Football game is on tonight. It's not really that great either. So
it is the Bungles versus the Giants, right?
Exactly. So, I'll watch it. I'll give it fair.
I'm going to go to an okay wrestling fan.
Let's see what train
wreck
they'll have.
Jay Chris, fair or foul, the WWE Network State of the Union address tonight after the go-home show?
you know, from an outsider's point of view, the WWE is struggling so bad. They got to do whatever they can to just try to get some attention. They're struggling right now. They really are. The way I see it, they're struggling. They got to do something. They got to figure it out. They really do.
Do you
I say
think,
foul.
Hey,
all
do
that,
you think
I say
the
foul.
Struggles are because of the UFC?
No, I think the struggles are because they're not – I don't feel like they're developing the young talent. They're not giving them the push that they should.
Oh, I got to interrupt you there. And I only could use the magic word when it comes to wrestling. Push. Didn't they give Seth Rollins the push that fans, quote unquote, or whatever? See, I blame fans for why the WWE is in trouble, not the WWE. That's just me. Continue.
Well, they gave Seth Rollins the push, but I mean now look at it. I mean you got all these, and I told you months ago. I think it was in the summertime, maybe before the summer, that you know, guy like Sammy, he's corny, right? Sammy Zayn was just corny, and they're trying to boost him up. I didn't think it was his time. Anytime when you ask me, and I know they do it all, and anytime you have a main event of a major pay per view, you know what I call the majors, a major pay per view being two guys that you don't really even see in the ring often. That's a struggle. That's a struggle for views right there. Don't be surprised if you see Shane McMahon fighting somebody in WrestleMania for the main event, too.
Well, that wouldn't surprise me, period, because it's a McMahon, and that's what McMahons do. But
but it's not necessary. It shouldn't have to come to that.
You know what? This is where I become Hugo, or shall I say Mike Knox, which is just me, myself, and I. Again, I stand by my stance that I've stood by since I've been doing radio and podcasting. You know, I blame fans. I just really do. Do companies make mistakes? Absolutely. Have they made their fair share of mistakes? Of course they have. But again, I think that fans want things, don't get things. When they get things, don't want things. When they ask for something that they've been bitching and crying for years, they get it, they don't want it. It's too late. This should have happened this way. Wrestling fans, I swear to you, is worse than the love triangle between Kevin and Svetlana on Shane, for those who watch the show. Okay? Somebody's dad just came home, who they thought was their dad, is really her husband, and they're knocking her off. That's wrestling fans. They have no idea what they want. Like many of you guys know what I said, except for Hugo, who watches Shameless with me. If you didn't see yesterday's episode, Shane, Hugo, I'm sorry. Spoiler alert.
I watched it. It was amazing.
About past few weeks.
Yeah, pretty late. Yeah, of course.
I think that the Attitude Era was the best and worst thing that happened to the WWE.
100% agree with you. Yes, it was.
Because the people that were fans at that time are fiending for that action. Yeah,
at the end of the day, it's not entirely the WWE's fault. You could also blame it a lot to WCW because the WWE had a resort to go into the Attitude Era. So you really can't blame the WWE per se. Blame the competition, although all competition is healthy, and I think that's what the WWE is missing. That's why I get your point where you're saying that the Attitude Era was the worst thing that could happen. Maybe the
but
WWE needs somewhat
no
to light up.
Boxing, I guess,
but,
would only be UFC.
When I say the worst thing that happened, I mean it was the worst thing because it was so good that it's hard to replicate.
Right.
Like
right.
The guys
no,
that had the personalities that they had were so good that now, we talk about Conor McGregor being bigger than UFC. I think they had two, maybe three personalities at that time that were bigger than the WWF. I think The Rock.
Agree.
Stone Cold, and maybe Triple H. All three of them are bigger, I think, than the company, quite honestly. You don't have that now, unfortunately. If you go up to any common person at the door, and you go up to somebody on the street and ask them to name a wrestler back in the Attitude Era, they will almost certainly name The Rock or Stone Cold, something like that. If you do it now, I don't think they can name anybody.
Anybody
would
probably
John Cena. Don't name
John Cena. Right. But
John
you know what? This is where my last point on this, and I'm sorry, Hugo, to cut you off. I do. Give me – I think if you move – for the benefit of those who know how much I feel about this man, I have to say it, though. Hulk Hogan, The Rock, and Stone Cold. right? Three biggest wrestling stars probably of all time. Maybe you want to throw in Andre the Giant for our parents, right? I think besides those four guys, nobody else was probably bigger. I don't think none of those guys. I think let's take out of those four guys. I'm going to move Andre, and I'm going to move Stone Cold and say The Rock and Hulk Hogan are the only two people that you might consider more than knowing them more than just wrestling. The other two you probably wouldn't. Right? With all due respect, you would know The Rock because he's a huge movie star, and Hulk Hogan was the guy who really made wrestling to mainstream, right, for those who like that kind of wrestling. So, again, a lot of things go in place for why that happened, but this State of the Union, it's very funny. I can't know what you see tonight. Second question, I'm going to go with you, Wally, on this because I know you love wrestling, Steve. I know you love the attitude era. I personally am a fan more of the ruthless aggression era that was after the attitude era, after they brought WCW and they got everybody there at one time and crammed them all in one building. The WWE Survivor Series as one of the big four. So I'm going to change it around because you got the question earlier. Has the big four died because of the state of WWE? That's meaning WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, and the Royal Rumble. And I bring that to you, and I'm gonna give you a hand there when I say that, because you look at these things. Survivor Series Go Home Show is tonight. We're talking about the state of wrestling and where fans wanted to go, right, Jay Chris? And you look at fans said, bring back the Survivor Series, but where did it should have been? I want it back on Thanksgiving night or before too also. That's just me for being a kid who always had it then. But besides that, they don't do the matches no more. Every match at this pay-per-view is so important. You got your 5-on-5 matches, which are four of them. You got your Brock versus Goldberg, nostalgia match that you normally get at WrestleMania. And then you got two matches that at the title switch, they switch shows. Everything that fans wanted. But people are still saying Survivor Series means nothing. Is Survivor Series in a big four dead, Wally? Fair or foul?
I just think, you know, because they have so many pay-per-views outside of the big four. When I was younger watching, those were like it. You know what I mean? So I just think that because you have so many pay-per-views that obviously, and then everybody wants to, and it's a money thing. You want to make a pay-per-view bigger than the next one. And you may not make it. You may make some just as big as, say, a major four pay-per-view. So I just think just because the amount of pay-per-views you have, you're automatically comparing it to the next one. So I just think that is, in its own little way, has kind of killed the specialness of, like, the major four.
Micah, fair or foul?
It's totally fair for you to say that. And I have to definitely expound upon what Wally's saying. In the last two and a half months, we've had five pay-per-views. Why? Did we have to have five pay-per-views in between? Did we need that in comparison? Couldn't they just have Raw and SmackDown between SummerSlam and between SummerSlam and Survivor Series? Maybe only two?
Blind tag, not a hot tag, just a blind tag, in saying, isn't this shouldn't we know this because they have the network and we know they have to fill a network full of shows? Like certain things, we should be the intelligent wrestling fan and know?
Being an intelligent wrestling fan and knowing doesn't mean that you have to have network exclusive pay-per-views because you don't have to have those networks.
We're all kind of network exclusive now, I believe.
You can have exclusive shows. You can have exclusive shows. Feel free. Have some exclusive shows. Have some special matches. You know, hey, how about your live events? You know that you usually have a camera at. You know, they had a camera. They had some cameras floating around the NXT event that you and I partook in. They could have actually had some highlights from those.
Like some old Prism and Boston Garden old matches. So matches.
Exactly. And so what's going on here, as you are an intelligent wrestling fan, what's going on here is that they're oversaturating their pay-per-views. They don't have to. Just because you have two different brands doesn't mean that you have to oversaturate your product.
So you think that the big four are dying? So the big four are dying because there's too many different pay-per-views. Want to jump in there for me real fast, Hugo. Fair or foul in that?
I think it's been dead for a minute now. And what I mean by a minute, it's been because they started cutting off on from the last brand extension when King of the Ring was scrapped. And it just doesn't feel anymore. Do you guys remember back in the 90s, in your house, you knew it was a transitional pay-per-view. There was never any WWF title match changes. Then all of a sudden, when the Brandon Station came around and In Your House was completely eliminated, all of them meant the same exact thing, except for WrestleMania and the Royal Rumble. I guess SummerSlam. I guess you could say SummerSlam, too. Survivor Series has been dead for a while, guys. However, I think the WWE, what they're doing now, Mike, I think they're trying to reestablish the top four. And I think what's it been, like about 3 years now since we've seen traditional Survivor Series tag team matches?
Uh-huh.
The WWE is trying to bring them back to be another top four. And you could actually have a top five if you really think about it, because Money in the Bank could also be another event. So you could bring your top five like you had King of the Ring, SummerSlam, Rumble, Mania, and Survivor Series. But it's coming back. It was dead, but it's coming back.
Now, here I go with this one, just to jump in here. And, of course, everybody knows I'm hashtag WWE guy. So I'm going to be – I'm sorry, Helgo. You're who I pick on today. I'm in love like you are with Conor McGregor with the WWE. I mean, like, you really love that guy. But, again, I think – okay, so where do you go? Are they dead because of the oversaturation? Are they dead – I mean, like, this always lends people like myself – I don't know if other fans hate hearing it – this is why we say, well, why do you watch, right? As much as I hate saying, why do you watch, it's annoying, and I say it, right? I say it all the time, and I hate saying it. That's how bad it is. Why do you watch, right? Because you watch, and I'm using this, and I'm going to take it this way. My wife said I'm not the biggest kind of – I love and hate him because I'm more mature. Is it because I'm an adult, more of an adult now, and I'm not a child, that some of these things that they did back then I never got mad about are different? Or are you still watching wrestling as if you're a child and like you're still watching cartoons? Like, I still watch cartoons. So I still expect a cartoon to do what a cartoon does. But wrestling doesn't do for me what the cartoon, what it used to do for me. I watch it now as in, this is what it is. I respect all talent. I have no problem with the Hall of Fame. I have no problem with the way things are this way or that way. That's the business. I'm an adult now. Like, dude, you know what that – you don't call video things mean, but remember that one video when you found out that wrestling was fake, right? That mm-hmm. video, I know you all seen with the John Cena thing going, I stopped watching wrestling at that point. We didn't. So now that we're getting older, we still want it to be what it was as a child. And I think that's where the unfairness comes in when I say fair or foul about Survivor Series. It's still big to me. It always will be big to me. It's like watching WrestleMania to me. It's one of the – it's the only big four I have not been to that I need to get to. You put that in perspective. For me, where I stand, it's everything we've been asking for as wrestling fans for the past almost a decade, for them to bring back in a Survivor Series, and they have that. They really, really, really do. The only thing it's missing is John Cena. Yeah, I said it. The place, the face that runs the place. 347-637-359. Jay Christian, can I jump in here? I got one more.
Yeah, let me chime in on that.
I heard you breathing heavy. Go ahead.
Yeah, let me just say this. Everybody is right. Everything you guys said is right. I think you guys said everything I wanted to say. Here is why the Survivor Series, there's two reasons why the Survivor Series isn't what it was. One is, like everyone said, the pay-per-views are oversaturated. You're getting a lot of that. And you don't get the for a while you weren't getting the traditional Survivor Series matches, which is what made the Survivor Series unique. Each when you had the Big Four, or Big Five, whatever it was, each one was unique. Okay, you had your Royal Rumble, you had your Survivor Series. Those two were unique. They had their own special things. You had the WrestleMania mm-hmm. Granddaddy. Then you had the SummerSlam, which cultivated
WrestleMania.
Now back then, you had the SummerSlam, and then you had. From SummerSlam on, you had the build to the Survivor Series, and I think with all the pay-per-views, you don't have that anymore. You don't have the 2 month build-up, and if they want to go with traditional, it's kind of a short time frame to build that up, which doesn't give you the same feeling that it once did. Like you were a month away and you couldn't wait for Thanksgiving to see it. Because you knew the Mega Powers was going to be taking on whoever, the Ultimate Team was going to be taking on, you know, the Million Dollar, whoever the case may be. And, you know, all of that combined just kind of hurt the Big Four. And I would try this. I mean, maybe you take it or leave it. I would try this. If you're going to have one every month – okay, alternate them between, I don't even know if they do this already, I don't know, alternate them between the SmackDown and the Raw, and then the big fours, you got to make them huge. You got to make them special. You got to make them unique. Because right now you have the Money in the Bank is unique, the Royal Rumble is unique. What's the one with all the ladders? Oh, that's Money in the Bank.
Money in the Bank.
You got Money in the Bank.
Royal Rumble. That's
on the sale.
And that's really it. Some people have said Hell in a Cell
has become one of the big. Well, Hell, they said I'm wrong, not Hell in a Cell. Money in the Bank has become bigger than one of the original big four. Should be a big five now.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes. And replaced King of the Ring as one of the top five when he used to be top five.
Right. So I still just think I'm gonna move on. Fair or Foul, guys, has the NCAA men's basketball, which has great games on the night. Great games. Duke versus Kansas. Michigan State, just great games on tonight. Cannot wait to watch these games. College basketball does it every year in the beginning of the year, but it's never talked about like the way they say college football gets talked about in the early part of their schedule. And who can forsake or even imagine or rub a genie's lamp or your girlfriend's ass to hope to get four great teams to lose this past weekend. Hey, Michigan. Sorry, Wally. It's in my blood. Are they getting a bum rap? Fair or foul to say men's college basketball doesn't get the respect of college football, J. Chris?
Absolutely. It's absolutely fair to say that. I mean, it's apparent. You know, I think it's part. Some of it is because you're coming off the summer, where there wasn't really much going on except for, you know, professional baseball, where you're excited to have football back and college football starts before the NFL football. And then on the flip side, you have NBA basketball starting before college basketball. So college basketball kind of falls to the wayside, even though you do get your bigger matchups in the early parts of the season. This past year, you had some big early matchups in football, too. I think they're trying to change their way. But, you know, basketball, you have the preseason tournaments and the early season tournaments and stuff like that. They really, I don't know what more they can do. They just need to, you know, somebody needs to just pump them up some more. I don't get it. I don't understand why it's like that, but it shouldn't be. But I just think it's because you have football pro in college and then you have pro basketball, and they just kind of fall into place behind all that.
Wally?
You got one. I would say I'll say it's fair. The reason why I would say it's fair is that, you know, college football makes more money, and you got to look at the end result of everything. You make money.
Okay.
And that's a great point. So the money they make and they generate, they pretty much push all these academic programs, these schools, period. Texas, you know, they suck, but they make money for the school.
Right.
So that's the thing. It's fair because the football programs are making the money, and It's a sport that college football is a sport that people, a lot of individuals will say, I'd rather watch college football rather than the professionals. You get that a lot. You know what I mean? So the reason why college football is hyped up more is the money making sport in collegiate sports.
Huh, I didn't think about it that way. And that's a very way he put the money approach on it. And I mean, you've been here 347-637-3859. Who puts butts in the seats? That's always the number one thing we talk about when it comes to, you know, especially wrestling and any major sports, Chicago Cubs. You know, butts in the seats, just saying, you know, biggest parade in the history of the world. Cubs win the World Series! It never gets old, guys. It's never going to get old. As long as you know me, we don't have to win no more. I'm going to remember that day, and I'm going to always say that we won the World Series, and we had the biggest parade ever. Anyway, Hugo. I know I'm challenging you here, because I know you're a college football guy.
Mm-hmm.
Fair or foul, basketball's not getting no respect with this early schedule. These games this past weekend and tonight are going to be amazing.
And they should be. I think it's foul. As a college football enthusiast, and I love college football, I actually love college sports better than I do pro sports. I think they, you know, the kids definitely work, and I call them the kids because they're not professionals yet, but they work harder than the pros do. They have less baggage than, I guess you could say, than the pros do. I've seen some of these college basketball games where you've told me, Mike, you're like,
Hugo, just give it a chance. Watch the watch March Madness. And I've sat there and I've watched it, and they play with a lot of heart. And that's what I love about college sports, whether it be basketball, football, whatever. I think it's unfortunately that college basketball doesn't get that exposure, especially since the NBA, which is a transition after college basketball, is so global. It's such a global brand. So what about showcasing what the future global stars can be, and you need to showcase that college basketball. And it's unfortunate that it gets less, I guess you could say, less respect than college football does, although I still prefer college football than any other sport in the world. So, but no, it's foul, Mike. I definitely do believe it's foul.
Y'all are bothering me with this one. I don't see how it's college basketball. And I'm like you, I'm in my fun zone here. I'm in my bag here. Micah, is it fair or foul to say this? Be the last answer here.
That's fine. It is totally fair to say that. And here's the reason why it's fair. Not only based on what Wally said about the money, but the reason why college basketball doesn't get the respect that it deserves anymore is because college football took the respect from college basketball. Because for a long, long time, can you honestly say that one of the biggest things you were ready for was the Notre Dame versus whoever game for the national championship? I mean, granted,
yes.
These schools have – well, no,
yes.
So, well, for you, because you're a Notre Dame fan. So, because you're a Notre Dame fan, obviously. So, well, that was a bad example. But, you know, if Notre Dame wasn't in the college football championship game before the FBS system came and before this college football playoff system came, you know, if Notre Dame was not in a national championship game, were you really watching college football? Was that you? Were you the kind of person who would do that? Or were you more so into Big East basketball, nasty, cutthroat, real, hard-nosed, physical play at the college level that extended to the game before a handshake and all other kinds of stuff was taken out? Were you more into Big East basketball? Were you more into, okay, Notre Dame playing the national championship, but I'll watch it. I'll watch it anyway. I'll watch some of the bowl games. What was your perspective at that time? Now, for me, as I was growing up, before the FBS system became the norm, I was more so interested in watching a Duke versus North Carolina game. I was more interested in watching a Villanova versus Georgetown or some kind of college basketball game at the time. And then as I've grown up and college football's popularity grown, I said, oh, college basketball season started. But this football game is going to be coming on tonight, even though it's a Thursday. I'd rather watch this college football game. And that's why I think the real separation happened. Not from just beating it down, but taking the respect that college basketball once had. Until March said it, so we already know what happened in March.
Saturday Night Live. That's where we're going to end it, guys. Saturday Night Live. Dave Chappelle. Brought back comedy is what the world has said. Best Saturday Night Live since the 80s.
Yes.
Has not had nobody else out there. I mean, brought out one Chris Rock, opening monologue. But he's languished during the program. Now, the world gets very upset and serious when it's, you know, certain words you cannot say. He used GD a lot. He even used the Donald Trump phrase. He wanted to grab him in the, you know. But he used the N-word a lot as well. The N-word on regular TV, is it fair or foul? Should it be still allowed to be used? Well, let me rephrase that. Do you care that they still use it, J. Chris?
Well, I don't care that he used it. It didn't. When I heard it, I was surprised to hear it. And then he kept using it, and I said, okay. And I'm sure, you know, that crowd, because that can be a pretty white crowd, they probably got pretty uncomfortable, and good. I'm glad they got uncomfortable, because, you know, that word is an ugly term. It is. And he took that word, and he used it over and over and over again. Did it bother me? No, it didn't bother me, because that's his form of comedy. When Saturday Night Live, before they had Richard Pryor on, I think I mentioned on the show once before, that was the first time Saturday Night Live was a tape delay because they were afraid of what Richard Pryor would say. Okay, and ever since then, it's been on like a little 5-10 second delay. Now, they probably wish they had did it, but they didn't, and that's on them. If you're going to have that type of comedian on your show, be prepared for that type of thing. Dave Chappelle is a comedian that is, he's a funny guy, but he's also an intelligent comedian. Chris Rock is also one of those intelligent comedians. And on another scope, Cat Williams is one of those intelligent comedians. And he's gonna, they're going to talk about things that are relevant to right now. And his delivery is his delivery, and you just got to be ready for something like that.
Wally, fair or foul?
Oh, I'm a little bit of, I guess a little bit of both for me. I mean, I thought it was, I can put it this way. I'm like J. Chris, I don't care that he used it. I was just surprised. I was like, dang, you saying the N-word a lot, bro. You know, I mean, that's the only, and that's the only thing. Because to me, what he did and what he was using it for and what he was trying to convey, I thought it was perfect. I thought it was beautiful. I mean, his jokes were hilarious. Even his final, you know, his final, I guess I'm going to say his final parts of the monologue, where he pretty much broke it down and saying how this is important, how the times are with Donald Trump being president and how we as people need to get together and stick together and give us an opportunity to see what's going to go down. I thought everything was great. Again, like him saying the N-word, I was surprised that you could say it on national you could say it on TV. But it goes back to what Jay Chris was talking about, though. Be prepared, man. Be prepped on that. Know that the kind of comedian you're getting, you're coming to your show to do a monologue, you have to be prepared. Like Richard Pryor, you would know that Richard Pryor would say something like that.
They would know that he was going to say that.
You should know. Like, if you watch Dave Chappelle on Comedy Central, you know, like, that word is synonymous with Dave Chappelle. Like, it's not, like, he said it a lot in comedy, like, when he was hosting the Chappelle Show. So I'm just saying, like, that word shouldn't, and Comedy Central is not HBO. It's not Showtime. It's a cable show, but still censored in a way. You know what I mean? So, like, if he could say that freely there, don't think he won't be scared to say it on Saturday Night Live.
Micah, that's fair foul.
I'm also one of those that I personally don't use the word. I have caught myself slipping several times, depending on what subject I'm very passionate about. So I have used it. I don't enjoy using it. But I also understand what his brand of comedy is. And when he uses the word, I personally am not offended. I know and I'm glad that people do get offended, and they should, as Jay Chris pointed out, should get uncomfortable at a word at that word and at that magnitude of the word. I believe that it's foul for it to be used so flagrantly on a national TV broadcast. However, it is fair for him to use freedom. I said, well, yeah. No, that's just personally me. But but it's fair for him. It's,
what are you talking about? Are you crazy?
Oh, listen, man, this is why you're the best in radio, brother.
Fair or foul is dumb, but I will ask you guys this question because it's my favorite part of Monday's show, to be frankly honest with you. Come on, man, karaoke guys in the group, come on. Chris, best and worst of the weekend, my brother.
Best of the weekend has got to be Dave Chappelle on Saturday Night Live. It's the best Saturday Night Live I've seen in a long time, and they probably had the most viewership that they've had in probably a long time, probably most black viewership that they've had maybe ever. I don't know, maybe since Richard Pryor was on at that time with the Chevy Chase skit. Love that skit, by the way. Worst of the weekend would have to be that staged, corny fight promotion between Keith Thurman and Danny Garcia. That was so whack to me. That was so corny. I knew as soon as I saw Keith Thurman in the ring that that's what was going to happen. Come on, boxing. Come on, man. Y'all figure it out. Do something better than that. Really? Come on, man. Please. Come on, man.
He came to come on, man. Wally, best and worst of the weekend.
I'm a copy Jay Crystal on the Dave Chappelle. I stopped my whole life to see that show. I was supposed to go out and I had to see it and it didn't disappoint me at all. Worst of the weekend. Had to obviously. Yeah, I don't care about the video. I need to see that thing live. And I would say the worst of the weekend had to be Michigan losing to Iowa. That'd be the worst of the weekend for me.
If we suck, y'all cannot win national titles.
They're still top three.
They are. So much. Hugo, best and worst of the weekend. I know what it is. We all know what it is. Go ahead and fall over again.
UFC 205 was definitely the best of the weekend. Although, close second has to be the Lakers, man. That young team have been playing well, Wally. They've been playing pretty good ball.
Yeah,
and they're
really
over 500. So I have to go with UFC 205. Worst of the weekend, guys. Come on, Team USA. Get your ass together. You really are losing to Mexico in Columbus. Pro-American crowd. That's the game you guys should have won, man. That's the worst of the weekend. Team USA losing to Mexico.
King Von Singer, best of the weekend, of course, Cowboys and Dave Chappelle. Wayne, we didn't talk about Dak Prescott and who's really the MVP of that team. Worst of the weekend, the Vikings losing. Why do the Vikings have to do what you lose? How does that affect you? Okay.
The Redskins.
But he's not a Redskins fan. He's a Cowboy guy.
No,
I got it. I got you. Right. Redskins fucking the Vikings. All right. Yeah. I got it. I'm slow on that one. Best of the weekend for me. Yeah, I can't lie. It's the guy I love to hate, Conor McGregor. I'm sorry, guys. Like, the guy is absolutely phenomenal. Even in a fight that was tailor-made for him to win, he still was
the best
guy out there. I mean, whatever. The fight was made for him to win. And with let's not interrupt my god darn best and worst. Don't do that. That's wrong. You know that? That's just wrong. Done? You have it because your Jets won too? Is that what it is? You're feeling you got balls now or something?
Jets lost.
I did it on purpose. It was a play on words. Because when they lose, they lose. Because they suck so bad. All right?
They are trash.
But definitely best of the weekend was definitely that. And I got to say with Jake Chris, 100% in totality, the worst of the weekend was the end of the fight. And I understood it, Jay Chris. I'm a wrestling fan, you know? So I was like, they had to do something. But with that being said, I definitely, not having no promotion or hype about it, no promotion or hype behind Ortiz as well, I think made for not the best, you know, night for those guys there. And I think that was the biggest caveat that I took away from UFC on that right there. But my worst of the weekend definitely was that as well, guys. Listen, our time is up. We're going to get ready to get up out of here because, frankly, it's just time to go. And if you don't want to leave, you can stay or go, whatever you want to do. But listen, do not wake up tomorrow morning and say to yourself, I love Tarzan's on DVD, y'all. Meet to me and don't love God. That's crazy, y'all. Read a book, y'all. A lot of good ones out there. More than just Facebook and Twitter at your disposal. See you next week. Well, that's a lie. I say that because, you know, see y'all soon, y'all. Peace!
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be hard. Like early 90s heavy metal hard.
I'm yelling and screaming and I'm loud. Roar.
Geico makes it easy. You can review and update your policy or report a claim on Geico.com or the Geico mobile app. Because shouldn't we all have a little less stress in our lives?
I'm not even upset about anything.
Join in the joy of Christmas Town at Busch Gardens Williamsburg. New this year, meet Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and friends. Celebrate with holiday shopping and shows. Take a spin on thrilling rides like Tempesto. Or join the furry festivities in the Sesame Street Forest of Fun. Busch Gardens Christmas Town. With over 8 million twinkling lights, you would even say it glows. Select days through January 2nd. Visit ChristmasTown.com/VA for best offers.